Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
How many of y'all know waiting? We don't like it very much. I mean, we've got online banking, quick turnovers, rapid solutions, Instagram, Snapchat, ATMs, and high-speed access. We live in a microwave, FedEx, fast food culture, and we don't like to wait for anything or anyone. Emails come straight to our phones at all hours of the day or night, and we impatiently wait for people to reply to the ones we've sent. When we can't get a hold of someone immediately, we assume something is wrong. We watch TV and no longer do we say, have we seen that person before? No, we just Google and find out who those TV actors are. And so often we prioritize swiftness over superiority, quickness over quality, speed over service, because waiting is hard for us to do. Really, waiting has always been hard for humanity. Whether it was Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, God was having daily walks with them, but on one day they're like, well, we see this tree and we can eat from anything else. Let's go ahead and nibble from that. Let me tell you, Daniel once waited 21 days for an answer to prayer. He prayed, the answer was sent, but there was an angelic warfare going on Daniel didn't know about. Nehemiah waited 3 months of praying and fasting before an opportunity came for him to be able to share what was on his heart with the king. Joseph waited 13 years from the time he was rejected by his family, sold into slavery, until he would be promoted to that position of prime minister in Egypt. Abraham would wait 25 years after God's clear promise that the birth of Isaac was on the way, that promised son was on the way. Moses would wait 40 years in the backside of the desert before that burning bush experience would reignite his call and discover the dream was not yet done. Joshua and Caleb, because of sins of other people, would wait 40 years to enter the promised land that they had surveyed as spies. David would wait. He would be anointed to be king, but it would be year after year. It looked like he was more anointed for trouble than it was to be king. But finally that day would come. Paul waited. Jesus waited. Think about it. 30 years, we know almost nothing about what Jesus did. It was 30 when he finally takes a step out into his public ministry. So if God is making you wait this morning, you're in good company. If God is making you wait, you're in good company. So how good are you at waiting? How good are you at waiting in traffic? How good are you at waiting for your children to come home from college in the summer? How good are you waiting for school to start again so you can send them to school? For what are you waiting? Are you waiting expectantly? Are you waiting fervently? Are you waiting passionately? I want to encourage you today to not give up on the promises that God's put in your heart. And don't give up on the people that God's placed in your life. The psalmist would say in Psalm 37, in verse 37, I like how the Amplified brings out some meanings there. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him and entrust yourself to Him. Do not, look at this, fret, whine, or agonize. Any of y'all know what it's like to be around a whiner? I mean, what's a whiner sound like? Come on, what's a whiner sound like? Y'all know the sound, right? We all know it. Don't fret, don't whine because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Let me tell you, life operates on God's schedule, not ours. God has a timing in our lives, and he can certainly turn delays into divine appointments as we trust in him, as we entrust ourselves to God. So in today, press through your doubts, surrender your deadlines, renounce your impatience, and instead, renew your trust in Heavenly Father, who's the Lord over your circumstances. Because I believe God has set appointments to accomplish certain things in your life. God has set appointments to accomplish certain things in my life. And I sometimes, unfortunately, I'm like lots of others in humanity. There's a promise in my heart, or there's a person I'm concerned for. And sometimes I want to manipulate, I want to control, I want to press, I want to scheme, I want to do whatever I can to get that desire met early. You know, sometimes I counsel young people and they'll be like, why should I, you know, wait for sex until marriage? And I'm like, because I promise you, it's God's intention. It's not because he's trying to keep anything back from you. It's good. Sexual relationships and a marriage between a husband and wife, it's God blessed. It's awesome. If you'll wait, it's blessed. But Sometimes people are trying to figure out how they can try to meet a need, even a desire inside of them before God-appointed time. What always happens when you try to meet a need before the God-appointed time? Hardship, pain, sin. Oh, there's pleasure in a moment for sin. There may be, but I promise you there's a penalty for sin. There's a consequence for it. There's a reason. But God has set appointments to accomplish certain things in our life. We have to we need, though, to drop the whining, because really it's a mark of immaturity. Drop the whining about how God must act in our time or in a certain way. Instead, just put our trust in God. Paul would encourage us in Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, everybody say due season. Due season. We shall reap if we do not give up. Due season. Boy, I like that. It's a due season we're coming into. But are any of y'all waiting for something right now? And don't you wish that due season was right now? I think you could probably relate to that. A few weeks ago, we unpacked a little bit of Genesis chapter 25. I want to look at that real quickly again. In Genesis 25, you have that encounter of Jacob with his brother Esau. And we kind of looked at how Esau was really wanting something immediately. Esau comes back from a long, unsuccessful hunt. He's hungry, and he's like, look, I'm about to die. He's smelling this great food that Jacob's been cooking there. And Jacob's like, hey, before I give you any of this red stew, you're going to have to trade your blessing, your birthright. It was a thing that was due Esau as the firstborn, even if Jacob was just the one born right after him, holding onto his heel. I mean, just seconds later. But Esau was in line by the culture, by the time of that day, to receive that double portion inheritance blessing. He was right there in that spot to receive the inheritance. But you know what? Esau, he really exhibited that lack of, you know, patience. What good is my birthright to me? He's all focused on the now. He can't see beyond instant gratification. Jacob says, well, swear to me first that you'll trade your birthright for this cup of bile, this lentil stew. Well, Esau gave that oath to him, sold his birthright to him. Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank. Then he got up and left. And notice what it says at the end of verse 34. Esau despised his birthright. Wow. Esau had an issue with not being able to wait for the blessing. All he could see was the immediate need. But Esau isn't the only one in there. Literally, we got two brothers in there who have a hard time waiting for the due season. We have two brothers that fought a lot. How many of y'all know sometimes brothers can get along and sometimes they can't? Any of y'all got a brother? You know, I used to tell my mama, because she would always say, Greg, don't fight with your brother. And I'd always quote to her, a brother is born for adversity. It's in Proverbs. You know? And mom would say, that's not what that verse means. And I'm like, Mom, that's what it says, you know? That's what it says. And mom would bring out something like, oh, the rod of instruction will drive that foolishness from the heart of your child. And then I'd come out with something like, yeah, I guess that's right. You can beat the hell out of a child. Yes, you can. All right, don't abuse anyone. I did not saw for that. But you know what? That fighting, that conflict goes on so easily between siblings. So easily there's a struggle that goes on there. Guess what? I heard a story this week. It made me joke. I heard it was a joke, but it made me laugh. Three sons competed even long after leaving home, and when they would get back together, they would even compete about what they had given their mom. Well, each of the men had grown up to be very successful, and their mom, a little advancing in age, losing a little bit in eyesight, was still, you know, kind of blown away sometimes by their gifts. Well, one particular birthday, the first, whenever he met with his brother, said, oh, this is awesome. You know, I outdid all of y'all on birthday, because he were coming after the birthday, and he said, I built mom a big house. The second brother said, well, I bought her a fancy car. And the third one says, well, you know what? I know mom loves to read the Bible, and I know she has a hard time seeing now, so I bought her a trained parrot that can quote the entire Bible. Well, these guys were real busy being successful in life, but not so busy checking on their mom. Their mom decided to write them a letter and, you know, just let them know, and wrote to each of them and was thanking each one of them so that each one of them would know, you know, how appreciative she was. But she also was kind of unhappy a little bit. She wrote to her oldest son, Milton, and said, Milton, the house you built me is really big, but it's too big to clean. And Gerald, the car you bought me, it's just too small and too fast. But I got to tell you, my best birthday gift this year was from Donald. His simple gift was my favorite. The chicken was delicious. Let me tell you, brothers can sometimes fight. They can. But Esau wasn't the only one having an issue with wanting something immediately. Jacob was literally trying to arrange the blessing for himself. Now, what's amazing about this is that Jacob had been ordained by God to be the person who was going to be the ultimate leader. This was where the blessing line was going to come down. It was ordained by God, but it wasn't released yet. So what is Jacob trying to do? He's trying to scheme. Waiting is difficult for him. He's been ordained but not yet released. But let me tell you a statement. I heard this from a preacher a long time ago. Faith is living without scheming. Faith is trusting God enough that you're not scheming or how you're going to meet that on your own. We all have opportunities to give up on what we're believing for and walk away, sometimes from uncomfortable situations. But don't give up on the promises that God's put in your heart. And don't give up on the people God's placed in your life. Loyalty and faithfulness are steps into that destiny. Loyalty and faithfulness are steps, not into scheming, but into faith in God. Hebrews 6:12 reminds us God doesn't want us to be lazy, but to imitate those who faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And one test we have to pass when we're waiting is being faithful, even when it seems like nothing is changing at the moment. Being faithful to be the son we're called to be, even though the blessing isn't yet released. Being faithful to be the son that's taking care of sheep, even though I'm anointed to be king. Being faithful to play a harp before a king, even though I'm anointed to take his place. Being faithful not to touch or kill God's anointed, even though he's chasing after me and throwing spears at me. I'm talking about David. But being faithful because God has put an anointing upon me. Or like Abraham, where he tried to connive. Well, everybody else in the world does it this way. They sleep with their handmaiden, they have a child. I'm going to work it out this way. No, all Abraham did was bring trouble for himself and for all the rest of the world. You know what? When you do the right things, even if it's not growing as quickly as you like, don't quit. Don't give up. Your faithfulness is going to bring a blessing. Galatians chapter 6 makes it clear. There's a due season. If you're not losing weight as quickly as you'd like, hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. Even if someone else is getting the blessing that you desire, don't get frustrated. This is too small. God has bigger things ahead for you. Let me tell you, God is bigger than your pain and your past, your doubt and your depression, your scars and your shame, your anger and your anxiety, your fear and your failure. God is bigger than your wallet, and he's bigger than your world. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in the due season we will reap if we don't give up. But sometimes when we're in that waiting period, it's hard for us to wait well because we struggle. You're anointed, but you're not yet appointed. You know, like David. In fact, it kind of wore on David. One time when he was out with his men, he and his men were taking care of a man's sheep, Nabal. He needed some protection. The stuff was going on there. He had done what was just honorable and kind. And the common courtesy of the day would have been for Nabal, when the sheep shearing all got done, to give something to David and his men for the time they had given. But instead, Nabal blew him off. In fact, just sent a disrespectful comment back to David. David hears word of it from his men, and he's just kind of at the end of himself. How many of you know sometimes when you're waiting, your patience can kind of wear? What it ends up God shows you is you're not ready yet. There's a due season, because sometimes God's doing something inside of you. You wouldn't be ready when that promise came. So he's working on you right now to get you ready for that. Well, how do I know David wasn't quite ready? Because David is like, we're going to go to find Nabal. His name means fool. And he's going to find out what kind of fool he is. Get your armament. We're on our way. These were hardened fighters, right? They're making their way. They're on the way to the house. But Abigail, I don't know why she married a fool, but sometimes pretty godly women do that. I don't know why. She was one of them, but she did not want to die. She didn't want everything to die. So she gets in the way. She intercedes. She comes with gifts. She's bowing down before David. And if you read the account, one of the things I thought was interesting is she literally reminds David of his destiny. If you look at it, she's like, you know, Master, you know, I know that you're anointed to be king. David had spent maybe 10 years of pent up emotion waiting to be made king. He's about to just let it explode. Guess what? The enemy sometimes tries to bait you off course, off of God's destiny, off of seeing that prodigal come home, off of seeing that person you've been believing for. You've been divorced, wanting to be remarried. You've been waiting. You're right there. The enemy will try to bait you off course so that you use your energy on something other than God's destiny for you. But whatever you're facing right at that moment, whatever seems like it's trying, whether it's waiting in line at the doctor or in a queue line at Disney World, it's just too small. God's got bigger things ahead for you. Are you worried or living frustrated because something isn't happening as quickly as you would like? Are you waiting on a dream to be fulfilled or your health to improve? Maybe you're like me and you're waiting for the church to experience revival and for awakening to hit this Tennessee Valley. Are you waiting to meet the right person? Well, listen to this. Don't let little imperfections steal your joy and rob the moments that God gives. So many people are so much waiting for the next thing, they're not enjoying the joy of where God has them right then. Don't give up. Wait well. If you're not seeing in your life what God has promised in His Word, then He isn't finished yet. That ought to bring some encouragement to you. What you see now is only temporary. If where you're living doesn't match what God's promised in His Word, be grateful, keep a good attitude, and keep waiting well. The medical report doesn't agree with what God's Word says. Well, you don't have to accept that as the way it's always going to be. No, you still got an attitude. There's a due season. I'm passing through this season, and I'm coming into my total health. My total wholeness, my total victory. You're trying to break through that addiction. Well, be disciplined. Maybe your progress isn't as fast as you desire, but don't quit just because you fell off the wagon. Stay on that process. Stay on it. You will reap a harvest. Sometimes in life, you'll have to wait, but don't open the door to doubt or discouragement. Trust God, and He will get you to the right place. Trust that God will get you to the right place at the right time. So don't give up on the promises God's put in your heart or the people He's placed in your life. No matter what you're waiting for, learn to wait well. Instead of worrying, turn your focus to the Father. Let patience have its perfect work inside of you. Trust that God's ordering your steps. Be like the psalmist in Psalm 37 who said, "Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and entrust yourself to Him." Don't fret, don't whine, don't agonize. Why? If you're not seeing in your life what God promised in His Word, it just means He's not finished with you yet. Joyce Meyer in her book, When God, talks about waiting well. And she wrote, "God has taught me to keep living the life I now have." Let me read that one more time. "God has taught me to keep living the life I now have while I'm waiting for the things that are in my heart to come to pass." We can become so intent on trying to birth the next thing that we neither enjoy nor take care of things at hand. I had a vision from God 10 years before I began to see it fulfilled. During those years, I believe I missed a lot of joy trying to give birth outside of God's timing. Here's the comment. What great words of advice here at the end. Learn to enjoy where you are while you're waiting to get to where you want to be. Learn to enjoy where you are. Learn to wait well. Learn to wait well. Don't grow weary in doing good. You will reap if you don't give up. There's a due season. And due season is when God says it's due. It's whenever He knows you're ready. You know, so you just got, some of us have to settle yourself, wait patiently. Listen, here's the encouragement. God knows what you need. He knows when you need it. And He knows how to get it to you. God knows what you need. Can you say that? Say, "God knows what I need." Say, "God knows when I need it. And God knows how to get it to me." Father God, I lift up my hands to You. I acknowledge my dependence upon You. God, You know what I need. You know what each one of these men and women need. You know what we need. You know when we need it. And You know how to get it to us. Father, I thank You. We press on. We hold on, Lord God. We want to wait patiently and wait fervently, Lord God. Wait expectantly, Lord God, knowing that there's a due season ahead for us in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Amen. In Psalm 106, verse 13, it makes a comment about some people who missed out on a bunch of blessings from God. It says, "They soon forget what He had done, and they did not wait for His plan to unfold." They missed out on a whole bunch of blessing because they just got frustrated. Let me tell you, you were born to win, to triumph in Christ, to be a champion in life. You're an overcomer, a person of destiny, a person of purpose, and God has plans for you. Your future has God-orchestrated opportunities, influential connections, restored health, spiritual progress, emotional fulfillment, promotion at the right time. I tell you what, you've got the right person that you're going to be meeting. I don't know if it's this week or next month, but there is advancement toward God-given dream. There's revival. There's awakening. What have you been praying for? Don't give up. Even in the midst of difficulties or trials, God wants to fight your battles with you and for you. So wait expectantly, wait fervently, wait patiently. Father, I thank you for your promise, your word. And Lord, we don't want to be like those people who forgot what you did in the past, but we want to be like those people who hold on and see your promise.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.